How about something on a second Enoch? If you haven't ordered the book of Enoch, I would really encourage you to read to order and read it. Okay, it's very good, and also reveals many revelations which Enoch received, and also confirms many things that Jesus taught about. Well, let's read some things out of second Enoch. Here's something out of 2 Enoch, chapter 29, 4 and 5. And this is regarding Satan's fall, which Jesus also made mention of. But one of the order of the archangels deviated together with the division that was under his authority. All right, and also this was during the second day of creation when this took place. But one of the order of the archangels deviated together with the division that was under his authority, which has to do with thousands of other angels of different ranks. He thought up the impossible idea that he might place his throne higher than the clouds, that is to have dominion over Adam. Instead of being a servant to Adam in a priesthood, he wanted dominion over Adam. Well, let's see what happens. They have the clouds there which are above the earth, and that he might become equal to my power, that's the power of the Lord. That's to rule independently. Okay, to rule independently, that's what Satan wanted. He didn't want to reciprocate to God the knowledge, nor to assist Adam in his obedience. So this is what happened. God, this was the first initiation of separation, and this was also an experience for the angels to observe and to take heed. So God initiated the first separation right here, which would take place numerous times in this dimension, a separation for perfection. So this is what happened. I hurled him out from the height together with his angels. All right, he was flying around in the air, that's the open space, ceaselessly above the bottomless, okay, which has to do with the open ocean, okay, over this dimension. So Satan was cast out of the seventh heaven, and he ended up in this dimension. Which had to do with his residence was established in the first heaven, and that's where he's at today. Satan has established his presence in the first gate of the first heaven, okay, called Willen, according to the book of Enoch. Okay, and there, Satan homesteaded, but he's a vagrant. He homesteaded, and he built himself a great castle, okay, and a great residence, and established an order there in the first heaven. Okay, and of course that's going to be cleansed and cast out. Okay, Satan's going to be cast out of the first heaven here pretty soon. Okay, that, of course, it takes place during the second half of the 7-year tribulation. Okay, when Satan is cast out, and then he and the false prophet and the Antichrist man begin ruling together in this dimension called the time of Jacob's trouble. So he's hurled out of the height together with his angels, and he's flying around the air ceaselessly above the bottomless. All right, let's read another one here. 2 Enoch 30, verse 8. The Lord says, "For I created all forces, okay, all the phenomena that exist in this dimension, okay, and that exist in the orb of God. He created all these things. So I created all forces, and there is none that resists me or that does not subject himself to me." Now that's God's perspective. Not one creature can resist his will, okay, including the unfolding of the events which are taking place today, okay, concerning the nations, the conflict of the nations, okay, and the things that are unfolding, okay, the perplexity that exists among the nations. And then he goes on, "For all subject themselves to my monarchy, his sole rule, and labor for my sole rule." And of course, we can see this was manifested during Jesus' ministry when Jesus commanded the sea, okay, and the wind and the sea to cease. Jesus walked on water and spoke to the wind to cease, which was a marvel in the eyes of his apostles when they were in a ship there. It was a marvel to them, wondering, who is this person? Well, this person is God, but God has manifested himself in this particular form that you can identify with. You can identify with this form as a human, as an Adamite, and you can also understand the language that he speaks. Okay, he speaks in the language of his creatures. Okay, just like the archangels. Okay, the archangels speak in the language of the creatures which are signed over. okay, over the creatures of nature is also the understanding of man, of Adamites. Now let's read something else here. Okay, we've got a couple minutes. This is out of 2 Enoch chapter 30, if I make a note on this, verses 10 through 11. This is a poem which God wrote. Okay, God wrote the first poem, and this is what he describes as a poem. This is for our understanding. And this is what he said of himself. Behold, God said, behold, I have thought up an ingenious poem to recite. Of course, who can debate that? Okay, so he says, I have thought up an ingenious poem to recite. And this is what his poem is. From invisible, which has to do with the spirit, invisible to spiritual things, and visible has to do with soil things, substance things. From invisible and visible substances, I created man, which he gave him a soul and a spirit, and a body to dwell in. So from invisible and visible substances, I created man. From both his natures, and it's interesting, he calls both his natures. Now we feel both those natures within us. We feel those things within us. Okay, in a conflict that exists between water and fire and between flesh and spirit. Okay, we can feel its presence. From invisible and visible substances, I created man. From both his natures come both death and life. Death and life. Okay, as my image, he knows the word like no other creature. Because as Adamites, higher life forms, we live by every word of God. So he knows my word. Okay, everything is tethered to the oath of God, and everything tethered to his oath, okay, has a mark of existence. Okay, so we possess that mark of existence through his oath, but we live by every word of God, okay, which God himself said. Man should not live by bread alone, that's for the body, but by every word of God, that's for the soul. So we see both natures, the body and the soul, death and life. And as my image, he knows the word like no other creature. But even at his greatest, that's the aspiration of man, his own record, he is small at that point. And again, at his smallest, okay, which has to do with faith, the soul, okay, at that point, he is great. And this is how God views us, being great in virtue, okay, but small in aspiration. On the earth, I assigned Adam to be a second angel. Okay, this was to rule and oversee the kingdom of God here. Okay, and that's why Jesus called the second Adam. That's to oversee God's kingdom here. Okay, and the evidence of that will be forthcoming when we come back with him. Okay, to rule and reign with Christ during the millennial reign when he's down here. And also to be with him forever. So on the earth, I, God, assigned him, Adam here, to be a second angel. Honored, great, and glorious. Now, honored, great, and glorious has to do with honored and title. We'll talk more about that in a moment here. Okay, great in capabilities. Okay, great in capabilities is concerning, okay, the state of the conscience and the powers of his own record. Great in capabilities. Okay, great in achievement. Okay, and glorious, quote, glorious in results. Okay, these are the things which God assigned, okay, to the record of man. Honor, greatness, and gloriousness. Okay, which has to do with the God called with faith, will be fruitful and multiply. Okay, be fruitful and multiply. And that's the language which God used when he spoke to Abraham. Okay, he used that very language, okay, upon his creation. We see that in Genesis. Okay, on Genesis 1, we see also the continuation of that which was given to Abraham through his faith. He shall multiply as the stars of heaven, as the sea is upon the seashore. Okay, his seed shall sit in the gate. His seed shall sit in the gate and contend with his enemies. Well, let's read something out of Colossians here, then we'll get started. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, Paul said, do not cease to pray for you. Okay, this is the interchange. Okay, the interchange of confirmation. As you pray for the stewardship prays for you, and a cycle continues, okay, in God's blessedness. God's blessedness, which means he continues to issue gifts. And you see this in the illustration, which I put in Facebook there, concerning the tree that was adorned with all kinds of gifts. Okay, that's the way the soul is to reflect Christ, okay, as a tree, like the tree of life. Okay, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire, what? That you might be filled the knowledge of his will. Now, in fact, this is touching on the very things we'll be speaking about today. Be filled the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So we see knowledge, wisdom, understanding. Okay, knowledge has to do with the accumulation of facts. See, we are knowledge creatures. We're knowledge-based, centered creatures. We live by information. Okay, we live by information, and information is connected to a form of language. Okay, the information from above is connected to a language, which is language of faith. So, with knowledge, and with the knowledge of his will, okay, which centers upon that power and all wisdom, giving us this direction and spiritual understanding. Because we, as knowledge creatures, want to set order. Okay, everything we come in contact with, we want to set order to. Okay, we want to set order to our residence, okay, the place where we dwell. We want to set order to concerning our motivation of life. We want to set order to that. When these things are in a state of chaos, our soul is set also in a state of depression, okay, because we have great desire to set order, and we can't set order, okay, we feel estranged, okay, aloof, like a boat without an anchor. And of course, we can see the scriptures bear that out. And then it goes on here, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. Say, so my prayer and intercession and giving of thanks stands in your behalf for this control of order, okay, the order of your priesthood, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. This is your reciprocation of faith. It's along the same topic we'll be talking about today, which we always talk about, your growth, which is every good work. And what else do we do? Increasing in the knowledge of God. So we see that through these things, we increase. We adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're getting started. So let's have your Bibles open now to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Here we'll pick up where we left off. In Ephesians 4, but speaking the truth in love. You might want to highlight that. Truth and charity. Speaking the truth in love. Okay, and again, this is a form of expression, but you have to have a standard and a scale to express with. Okay, we can see this in commerce. A monetary standard is used, okay, for the purpose of exchange. We see that the scale of truth is a monetary scale of exchange of our charity. That means we can identify it, and because we can identify it, we can set value to it. Okay, and then we set value to it. That's what discernment is. And discernment has to do with understanding its value. Okay, we understand its value by its source. If it is not, okay, upon this scale, then there's no value to it. Okay, it's lighter than vanity. Okay, but when it's upon the scale, okay, it brings perfect equity. Perfect equity is pleasing to God. And faith bears that equity. Perfect equity. Because we know that without faith, it's impossible to please him. Okay, now we approach God on the conditions of truth. Okay, so without faith, it's impossible to please him. Okay, so we approach him on these conditions. So without faith, it's possible to please him. For he that comes to God, that's with your priesthood now, must believe that he is. That means our approach is with this respect. Okay, approach is also with this reflection. So without faith, it's possible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he's rewarded them that diligently seek him. Okay, those that approach him according to his terms with his tokens. Okay, those which approach him on these terms and with his tokens, as we see in that first covenant. The admiration, okay, of that approach has to do with the tokens. So God put beauty, okay, within the tokens. Even the oil that was poured upon the head of Aaron and ran down his beard. It shimmered in a token. Okay, it shimmered like diamonds in his beard. It added beauty to the outward senses. Okay, to the outward and visual senses of the carnal eye. Okay, it added that beauty. At that point of the first covenant, it was sanctified by God. Being sanctified by God, the witness was carried by angels, which Paul writes about in diverse ways, many ways, in many instances. And in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God who at diverse times, in many ways, communicated unto our fathers by the prophets, has in these times now that we're living, communicated unto us now by his Son. The angels of the Lord now communicate, okay, the tokens of his adoration, those things which we admire. We admire these things, the tokens which from above, not the tokens beneath which are perishable, but the tokens which from above, and in fact, we'll be talking more about that. But we're in verse 15 here. We're on Hebrew or Ephesians 4, verse 15. So this is what we prophesy, speaking the truth in love. We prophesy the pattern of Christ in his covenant that by this holy knowledge. This is how we are adorning him. Yea, and our admiration stands in these things to be admired. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him. So the word there, grow up. Grow up. Okay, this is your form of mobility. Your form of mobility, see, increases with each token, okay, of adoration. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. And that's the visual aid which I put there, okay, as considering the tree there that has tokens put upon it, okay, which has to do for the admiring of the eye. Okay, and you can see that looking at that gives particular pleasure to the eye. And there's eye equity to that. We take pleasure in that which possesses eye equity. Okay, and this is what God views our soul with. God views our soul with the tokens he's provided for his eye equity, his joy. Okay, so the joy of the Lord is our strength. Okay, the tokens which he's provided for us possesses this eye equity, pleasure that's pleasing to the eye. Okay, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. And I have the word all things right here. But these are tokens and marks of ownership in you. These are marks of ownership. Okay, God places his mark within the soul, just as much as the beast is going to place his mark upon the forehead or in the hand. The beast there in the book of Revelation, chapter 13 and 14, we can see that this is the mark, okay, the mark of his token. Okay, and those that bear the mark of his token benefit from his aspirations. They increase with the increase of the beast. We increase with the increase of God. And so therefore we're increasing his kingdom as he delights in. Okay, so during the tribulation, those that bear the mark of the beast, which takes place during the second 3.5 years, see, they bear that mark, the mark of his token, which also they increase by. No man can buy or sell except he bears that mark. So we can see that mark is for exchange. We bear the marks of Christ within us for exchange. Okay, so, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him into all things, which is the head, right? The word head there. This is with the goal in all things. With this goal in mind, the goal of the inheritance, which has to do with the inheritance of the throne. There's where we shall ever be with the Lord. Okay, we're going to be with him and be eyewitnesses with him. Okay, of all the events that will transpire in our presence. Okay, we're going to be up there for 7 years watching all these events unfold. Okay, everything that he thinks we'll know. Everything that he does, we will have seen within him. Okay, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in him all things, which is the head, even Christ. And when he says the word even Christ here, he's talking about the throne of the crystal sea. Even Christ, which is the throne of the crystal sea. So he rewards our maturity, okay, with more increase, okay, as a chaplet or a wreath or a crown. Okay, we'll be talking more about that, as a chaplet, a wreath, or a crown. Okay, so we're going to be putting him, this is how we put on Christ. We put on Christ by the tokens of this blessing. This is the blessedness. This is the blessedness which we see also in Deuteronomy 28. Now, in Deuteronomy 28, the blessedness was put within earthly values. Blessed are ye when you go out. Blessed are ye when you come in. Blessed should be the fruit of your cattle. Blessed should be the fruit of your field. Blessed should be the fruit of your house. Blessed should be the fruit of the womb. Okay, blessed shall be the fruit and the labors of your hand and the fruit of your table. So we see all these blessings were put within that which is that first covenant. Okay, the first covenant was adorned by these tokens. Okay, the tokens of reciprocation. You give to the high priest and God prospers you. Okay, you give to the high priest, God prospers you. You take of the fruit of the field. Okay, the fruit of the field for the fruit of the table, the priesthood, him and his family. Okay, him and his family. So you can see the reciprocation. Okay, the people of the field benefited from giving. Okay, the people of the field benefit from giving. Okay, so God benefits also by giving. He gives to us, we give back to him the increase. He gives to us, we give back to him the increase. He gives to us a talent, we give to him an increase in reciprocation 10 more. Okay, and that's why he said, blessed are you, enter you into joy of your Lord. That's the light of this accumulation. Okay, the tokens of your treasure, enter in the joy of your Lord. This is how we put on Christ, okay, which we see there in verse 24. So we can look in verse 24 there, in the same chapter. Okay, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay, our perspective now increases. Okay, our perspective increases. God is molding our perceptions by these tokens. So the tokens that you receive mold your perceptions of God's kingdom. That's how you put on the mind of Christ. Okay, you put on the mind of Christ. The anointing assists you, okay, with this transition from darkness to light. Okay, and from the children that bear the curse to the children that now bear the blessing. So we put on Christ, and Christ by this priesthood, the priesthood of these virtues. Okay, and by these things, we're escaping the deceitful lusts. Deceitful lust has to do with the tokens of the flesh. Okay, the tokens of the flesh add value to the aspiration. The tokens of the spirit add value to your faith. Okay, so that you put on the new man. Verse 24. Put on a new man. So now we're bathing with the fire of this baptism. Okay, this knowledge is our baptism. The holy knowledge is your holy baptism. Okay, a baptism of fire. And by this baptism of fire, which the church received in the day of Pentecost, and which we carry this tradition and witness today, will assist us with the rite of passage through the altar to the throne. Without the fire of God engrafted within you, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, evidence speaking in tongues, okay, you have nothing, okay, you have nothing to allow you entrance to the altar of fire. The angel of fire will not allow you through the courts of the temple to the throne of God. You must be, adorned, okay, with these gifts. Okay, these gifts are part of your washing. Okay, like putting soap and water in your washing machine. By putting soap within the water and the agitation, okay, the agitation of the washing machine, your laundry is cleansed. It goes through its process, a spin process there, which we also go through the cycles of our growth. Okay, but through these cycles, there's an increase of cleansing, okay, from cycle to cycle, the renewing of your mind. Okay, so the tokens which he's provided for us, okay, he also provides a piece for us, like a water softener. Okay, a laundry softener. Okay, which carries with it a particular scent when you put it in the dryer. Okay, that's the fruit. That's the fruit of your labor there. You're putting scent. Okay, a pleasant fragrance. Okay, within your laundry. Okay, so that, it has a fresh, clean smell to it. And of course it goes through the process again. Okay, and the Lord puts the fragrance of these gifts within you as you're praying in the Spirit. When you're praying in your spirit, when you're praying in tongues and offering the gifts of your sacrifices of Christ, okay, this is releasing a sweet smelling savor, okay, which we can see the language was put within the first covenant for us to understand its value and eternal value of the second covenant. Why these things must be so. Okay, even though there was a sweet smelling savor, okay, of loss within the first covenant, which could not cleanse the conscience, now that sweet smelling fragrance is put within your conscience now for an eternal value. It'll be with you forever. So here it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, the experience of this glory, that you put on the new man, which after God is created. Okay, which means now we're reflecting his likeness, being as his form, one form. Okay, we're being formed in his likeness again. Okay, that is from this beginning, from the soil, starting in the soil to paradise of light. Okay, Adam being starting in soil to the paradise of light. Okay, from the root to the fruit. From the root to the fruit, being concealed and being revealed, from suffering unto glory. We can see the pattern. From suffering to glory, from the root to the fruit, from that which is a soil to the glory of paradise of light. Okay, being clothed in his virtue, that you put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. Okay, righteousness and true holiness is for your increase in fruit of your priesthood. Okay, now let's go to Revelation here just for a second. Okay, and this has to do with Revelation chapter 4:10. We're going to see a form of reciprocation. Okay, we're going to see the casting of the crown. The casting of the crown. Now, you notice I put a crown there, okay, in the illustration there in Facebook, a crown. And next to that crown, okay, we see another illustration, okay, which I use. I selected a Christmas tree. Okay, we'll just call it a Christmas tree. Okay, and a Christmas tree is adorned with all these gifts. Okay, now that's what the crown is. The crown, okay, the crown has to do with your cycles of growth and the gifts which God gives to you for your overcoming. Through each cycle, okay, you prosper. The gift is a token of your prosperity. Okay? It's a wage of your endurance. It's a wage of your patience. It's a wage of your long suffering. So that through patience and long suffering, okay, we put on Christ. Now we see in here in chapter 4 of Revelation, start with verse 9. Now when those beasts, these are the four beasts, which are before the four creatures, the four beasts there, standing before the throne of God, they have their particular assignment, okay, and regarding this form of reciprocation. What they speak is what we reciprocate to. Okay, so we can see the filtering of the knowledge of God. The filtering of the knowledge of God is likened to that, okay, of like the cattle of a field. Okay, let's call it beef cattle. Okay, so the cattle is taken from the field and put to the slaughterhouse. Okay, the slaughterhouse now breaks it down to the portion whereas you purchase it in the store. Okay, it's a breakdown. You purchase it in the store, then you break it down to feed yourself. That means you cook it, you slice it, you eat it. Okay, now the four beasts, okay, which are before the throne of God, okay, are likened to that process. Okay, the beef cattle, okay, is taken from the field, put to your table, but it goes through a process of reduction so that you can consume it properly without choking on it. So we see that the four beasts are those which are filtering. They filter it. Okay, that which comes out from the mind of our Father, okay, is filtered down, and the beasts are reciprocating, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." They're reciprocating that, okay, taken from the field. Okay, that means they're adding value. So the beef cattle, like a cattle drive, the cattle drive brings it to the railhead. The railhead then takes it from there, okay, to the slaughterhouse. The slaughterhouse takes it from there to the store shelf. The store shelf then sells it to you. Okay, at the cash register, so that you can put it in refrigerators, you can put it upon your stove, you can put it upon your plate, so you can put it in your mouth. Okay, due process. So the four beasts saying, "Holy, holy, holy," are reciprocating the knowledge which they receive. Now, how do we know this? Well, look what happens next. Okay, look what happens next. So they're saying this, "Holy, holy, holy." The angels are one mouth and one accord. Okay, they're talking about the contact point which we have received. Past, present, and future. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Okay, addressing his stewardship. Okay, the master, creator, the governor of our destiny. Okay, the true charity, okay, which sustains our faith. He's Almighty. Okay, and this is what Isaiah spoke about. Okay, the wonderful, the counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Okay, he broke it down, okay, in title form. And these angels, these four beasts here, break it down in title form for us. Okay, now when those beasts now, these creatures, okay, all confirming the adding to substance to the title of God, which is, which was, and is to come, because all of them are carrying the powers, all these powers are carrying his word. His word is now being carried by the 24 elders. The 24 elders are reciprocating which we hear. In this dimension, the anointing carries it from the throne to us. So you see what's happening here. From the throne to the heart, we reciprocate from the heart to the throne. Okay, and this is what Paul brings out concerning we confess with the mouth. Okay, we believe with the heart, we confess with the mouth. Now, when those beasts give glory, honor, and thanks to him that sat upon the throne, they're adding substance to the title, his title here, glory, honor, and thanks. That's reciprocation. Now it's on your table. To him that sat upon the throne, which is the power of his will, who lives forever and ever, this reciprocation, okay, is perpetual. And this is what we're learning here. We're learning this due process of his kingdom because we're going to carry this heritage and this habit, okay, into the baptism of light. So you can see why our Father's teaching us. He's teaching us these basics now, okay, because he's going to add to our knowledge more so later. Okay, that's why all souls will go through the process of education in the seventh heaven. Through Esbolga, okay, and Galasar, okay, who will be teaching us the mysteries of the throne, the mysteries of the Torah, okay, the mysteries of Torah, why the Father compiled the Torah in such a manner, okay, that has such a great spiritual mystery to it, that even today, the carnal mind is trying to penetrate that spiritual mystery of the Torah just by the letters itself. You can't. It's the anointing. The anointing brings us to proper sense, and the sense of it is perpetual. It's unending. It's a drop of water, okay, in the midst of the ocean. It's perpetual. Okay, and he goes on here. Now, the 24 elders were listening, and at this point, they bowed the knee. The 24 elders fell down before him that sat upon the throne. Okay, but of course, the seven lamps remained stationary and standing, which are seven spirits. Okay, the seven spirits were also reciprocating in perfect harmony, like an orchestra. Okay, worship him that lives forever and ever, that bears the eternal conscience of the Father. Okay, and they cast their crowns, these token of powers. Now, this is reciprocation now. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying this. See, the word, they were saying something. Okay, so what the four beasts received, okay, was now, okay, reduced to the plate for the eating, for the ingestion. And this is what they ingested. What they ingested, they say, this is so good. We reciprocate with every bite. Okay, so you slice the steak, you put it in your mouth, and the savory meat, okay, is received through the powers of the tongue. The powers of the tongue now are put in words of expression. This is delicious. You can see the reciprocation here. And now the 24 elders are reciprocating to the Lord God Almighty. This is delicious, Lord. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor. These are the gifts of substance you've provided for us, and honor of title, and powers, contact point for our faith. For you created all things by this system, okay, by the record of your own soul. Okay, you gave witness now. This tastes good. Okay, taste and see that the Lord is good. For you have created all things and for your pleasure. Okay, this all things are tethered to your oath and for your pleasure. For your wisdom, your wisdom determined all these things. All this plan was put within one man, Jesus Christ. For your pleasure, they are and were created. This is the plan of Christ. The plan of Christ is spoken in everything that we see. Everything that we see in heaven and in earth. Everything that we see, okay, bears his name. Now, okay, let's go back now to Ephesians 4. This is the truth that we're speaking because truth, okay, identifies its perimeters. Under the first covenant, the perimeters were put within curtains of skins. And wood, okay, ram skins dyed red, okay, and wood, okay, that wood that was properly prepared, put in ouches of silver, okay, and tethered. It was tethered together as one form, with a form of entrance. All right, so speaking the truth in love, we identify now the scale, the standard, the unit of measure, and its restrictions, that which is of the first covenant. Okay, now we're understanding, okay, the measure, the standard, and the scale of this covenant. Okay, so truth helps us to identify the source and its fruit. Okay, that this is good. Okay, as the Lord said at the very beginning, God saw that it was good. Okay, it bore the flavor of his pleasure. It is good. Okay, and we saw that in verse 24. This is how we put on Christ. We put on Christ by the adornment, we adorn him, okay, adorn him by the things which he's provided for us to be adorned with, the tokens of his knowledge. We're putting on him, okay, and by putting on him, what are we doing? We're adding, okay, of course, we'll be reading more about that here concerning when we add to your faith what? Virtue. This is, of course, what Peter, Chief Elder Peter brings out. Add to your faith virtue, okay, and we can see that. In 2 Peter chapter 3. So let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. That's what we'll start with. Okay, according to his divine power, these are the tokens which he's provided for our priesthood to be adorned with, by which we reciprocate. Okay, even as Aaron. Okay, Aaron was adorned by the revelations which Moses received by the divine hand of God. An instruction book was provided for Moses, okay, which had these inscriptions and graphs. Okay, graphs and pictures. He had pictures, portraits on it. Okay, this is what it's going to look like. Okay, and so he receiving, okay, these things right from the hand of God, gave them to those which would provide them for the priesthood. Okay, we talked about that last week. According as divine power has given unto us all things. Okay, as a result of this pleasure, the anointing affects this change. This is the holy knowledge of his throne, which is broken down for us. Okay, spoken right out from the Father's bosom, from the throne to four beasts, 24 elders, by the angels provided for us, the archangels which provide us this knowledge, revelation, according to his divine power, the revelation, we're talking more about that, how the revelation was broken down by the angel Gabriel, given to, of course, a young girl named Mary. So according to his divine power, is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. These are the tokens provided for us to sustain his likeness, and it keeps it afresh. It keeps it afresh, living. Okay, it doesn't spoil. There's no spoilage to the revelation of God. The revelation of God doesn't spoil. Okay, it's a preservative. Adamites have learned to put preservatives or put food in cans with preservatives. Okay, just to keep it, of course, to keep it from going to a point of, okay, spoilage too quickly, even though it has an expiration date on it. Eat before a certain date. Okay, like on your milk products, particularly have an expiration date. Consume before this date, because after this date, it goes through, you can say it cycles of death at that point, and it smells and tastes like it. Okay, but we don't partake of the tokens of death to death. We partake of the tokens of life into life. Okay, there's no spoilage in the revelation of God because it's living by your faith. Through your continued reciprocation, okay, and your obedience of, in the priesthood, okay, you're keeping these revelations afresh from the Lord. You can reflect back to the first times of his touching you, the touching you of this enlightenment of grace, which Paul speaks about. Okay, after you've been illuminated, you receive that this Holy Ghost here. Paul talks about it, and he also speaks about it in Hebrews 6, okay, which you can make a note on that, which, of course, we're still talking about these things in Peter, okay, chief elder Peter, but we see also in Hebrews 6, okay, most of you know where I'm going to right now, he talks about the things of that first covenant, the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith toward God. He says a doctrine of baptism. He goes on. He first identifies the things which he's not sanctified. Then he identifies the things which he's doing. And this will we do if God permit. For it's impossible those who are once enlightened. For this is your very beginning. Okay, the seed that was planted, and your conscience is awakened, and have tasted the heavenly gift, this divine work, and the partakers of the Holy Ghost, which you're doing now, and have tasted the good word of God. And this is your understanding of this mystery, and the powers of the world to come. Now let's go what Peter says here. I'm back to 2 Peter. According to his divine power is given to us all things pertaining to life and godliness. How is this done? Through the knowledge of him. We are knowledge-based creatures. Okay, knowledge-based. Truth. Facts which are consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan. Okay, this is the threefold tethering, okay, which we identify with for discernment and to remain within, okay, the restrictions of this covenant, not to venture outside this covenant. Okay, we're not building with many covenants. We're building with one covenant, and this one covenant will now fulfill all promises. This one covenant fulfills all promises, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, where that begins here of this covenant. Okay, that by these, the tokens of power, you might be partakers of divine nature, by which he's adopting us, having escaped the corruption of this world through lust, okay, through your cycles of growth. Okay, through your cycles of growth. He's purging spirit, soul, and body. Okay, and he goes on. Beside this, giving all diligence, which this is what your focus, giving all diligence has to do with that we behave in such a manner as to focus in the way, each step of growth. Okay, through your cycles, which repeats and repeats and repeats. Add to your faith virtue, the virtue knowledge. It has to do with regeneration, renewing of the mind. The knowledge temperance, patience, godliness. Okay, by which we fellowship with each other and bond. The godliness, brotherly kindness. Your habits of life begin to change. It becomes evident even to other people. Okay, patient godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. Highlight the word charity, draw life from the word charity to the word faith there in verse 5. This is the beginning of a process of reciprocation, okay, to the fruit of your labor. Okay, this is the wages of life, not the wages of sin, but the wages of life. For if these things be in you, now the chief elder Peter says, if these things be in you, which means, okay, it's your responsibility in order to identify and to apply. You have to identify and you have to apply. If these things be in you and abound, see the word abound there, which means it doesn't grow stale. What grows stale, okay, has to do with that, like a swamp. Okay, a swamp, okay, where during the summer, Okay, the swamp is full of water, okay, in the spring, but by the end of summer, the swamp is nothing but dry reeds. Okay, dry reeds, garbage cans, and old tires. Okay, cans, bottles, and tires. Okay, whatever was in there moved on. The frogs moved on, the turtles moved on, until the swamp is restored again, then life is restored to it. Okay, during the spring, you can hear the life that's springing forth in a swamp, okay, or the pond. But then when, as it goes on, the voices of life diminish because the water, okay, is diminishing. Now, where the anointing is diminished, okay, so is the voice of your charity. Okay, but where the water is increasing, okay, so also is your charity, the voice of your charity. Okay, the ocean is full of life. Okay, the ocean is full of life. Okay, that's this voice of charity. It's so full of life, okay, that we see that people go fishing out there. Okay, fishermen go fishing. They're bringing the life from the sea to your plate. Okay, they're bringing the life in. We bring the life also. Okay, from the bosom of the Father to the plate of your charity. So the godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. First these things being abound, they make you never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. See the word barren? The word barren, which means an ornament is adorning your tree. Okay, an ornament or a stone or a ruby is put within your crown. Okay, but he that lacks these things, in other words, the swamp went dry. In other words, the baptism of the Spirit, okay, which he received, okay, now becomes a dead expression. Okay, charity is only living, okay, if it's built in truth. But charity is dead, okay, if it's removed from the environment. Okay, so the circumcision becomes uncircumcision. Okay, the very seal of your salvation now is broken. Okay, we can see the analogy of that in that first covenant. Even King Saul was circumcised, okay, but the spirit left him because the swamp there or the pond dried up. Okay, his form of reflection, okay, was redirected to the aspiration. His faith was dried up. The swamp or the pond was dried up. Okay, because it was dried up because of the aspiration. Okay, and when an aspiration dries up the swamp or the pond, you see the death in there. Okay, and how was King Saul's death expressed? He tried to kill the anointing in David. Okay, and we can see this today. Okay, those whose souls are dried up are now expressing all forms of death. They want to destroy the anointing. But he that lacks these things is blind. His perception now is just built with the text and not seeing Christ. So he that lacks these things is blind, cannot see afar off, because he has forgotten that he's purged from his old sins. His repentance is not sealed, so he's always repenting. And now Abraham saw afar off, didn't he? He saw afar off because he was working with the anointing. He was obedient to God upon the mountain, as we see in Genesis 13. But Abraham saw far off there, verse 13, 14, and as Moses did on Mount Nebo there, and Deuteronomy 39. Okay? But those which are a scholastic salvation functions as a powerless faith, okay, where the anointing is absent. The carnal-minded or carnal logic rules the perception of the text, okay, which is death unto death. We can see the reciprocation of the Pharisees towards Jesus, the anointed one. They desire to kill him. Okay, that's what happens when the pond dries. The death is exposed. We'll see some more about this. Let's go now to Proverbs. Okay, Proverbs chapter 4. Okay, Proverbs 4, we'll read a few verses there. Make sure you put your marker here in Ephesians. Go into Proverbs 4. We'll start with verse 4 through 9. Which Solomon saying, my father David taught me also and said to me, Solomon, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. That's the wisdom of his father. The wisdom of the stewardship now. Okay, the stewardship which is through David, okay, was now being transferred to Solomon by this knowledge. Jesus did the same thing when he breathed on his apostles. He transferred the knowledge of his stewardship to them, and they in return shared that knowledge of their stewardship with others. Okay, and that's the process, okay, which the church lost, which God has restored today. Okay, in the second eighth week, the due process of revelation, the breathing upon the stewardship, the stewardship breathing upon the body. He taught me also and said to me, let your heart retain my words. That means so that there's no cracks in your understanding. So that your soul possesses no cracks. because a steward's knowledge preserves faith. So let your soul retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. That means free the soul from the derision of shame. Get wisdom, which David is telling him, and Solomon is also telling his son, Rehoboam. Get wisdom, which I asked of God in a dream, to lead his people. Get wisdom, get understanding, which my father gave to me. My father David taught me to ask this, to request this, to petition this, which the Lord God, okay, the Lord God then reciprocated and gave me in the dreams. Forsake or not. So notice he puts it within a feminine form as the holy city. We don't forsake the holy city because we're walking in the wisdom of God. Those which walk in the wisdom of man forsake the holy city. They're not building upon the foundation of the apostles, because the holy city is built upon the foundation whose names are the apostles. They stewardship. The foundation of the holy city is built upon a stewardship which the priesthood is expressing, where we see the throne. We see the throne. There's no temple therein. For Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it, and there's no need of the light of the sun or moon, because Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the light of it. All right? Don't forsake her. Don't forsake this foundation. Don't forsake her. She shall preserve you. Love her and she shall preserve you. That means mate with this wisdom which I'm providing, because this is the mother of us all. We're mating with the wisdom, the mother of us all. Those don't mate with the holy city, New Jerusalem. Okay, mate with the false city. Okay, the mother of harlots. Now, wisdom is the principle thereof, which means the main thing of all perception. How the Spirit directs your perceptions is superior to everything else. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. This is the gift that adorns your tree. Okay, those things which we admire. And with all you're getting, get understanding. Continue to add how everything is joined together to function as one body. Exalt her. That means we preach and nourish the seed of charity and increase your intellectual stature. Exalt her. She shall promote you. She shall bring you to honor. She shall bring you to honor. That's to add. That's exactly what Chief Elder Peter said. Chief Elder Peter said it. Okay, we affirm those things. We can give witness to this because we're experiencing the same thing, because we're the same spirit. We're the same spirit of faith. She shall bring the honor and greater value as a jewel in your crown. Okay, when you do embrace her, that's to mate with wisdom as I did. That's what Paul said, and that's what Solomon said. Of course, that's what Peter said. What did he say? She shall give to your head an ornament of grace. Okay, which we said here, a chaplet. A chaplet. She shall give your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to you. Okay, so we can see a transference. Solomon learned these things from his father, King David. Okay, King David, okay, by the anointing, okay, brought deliverance to the people, brought knowledge to the people in the book of Psalms and many other writings. Okay, he also established, okay, a joining of stewardship with the priesthood, bringing the ark into the city. A joining of stewardship with the priesthood in one location became the city of refuge. It became the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. This is why Jesus was making reference to that. Okay, if you can understand its history, where King David brought the ark there, this city is to be the light of all nations. And again, the city will be the light of all nations during the millennial reign. It will be the light of all nations. Okay, and we also will add to her glory. Okay, as we continue to expand the house of the Lord, okay, in other regions of the world, expanding these things. Okay, by expanding these things, okay, we're also gaining more learning experience. And regarding our responsibility of the third covenant, okay, when we entered the Father's bosom, the very core of his conscience, to carry on these divine traditions, okay, in dimensions will be granted to us and assigned to us as overcomers. Okay, now let's go to Proverbs 14:18. Okay, we'll be talking more about these tokens here. Okay, Proverbs 14:18. Now the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The prudent are crowned with knowledge. So you're considered to be prudent because the Lord is crowning you with knowledge. The powers of faith is heard, which we can see in the experiences of Simeon and Anna. All right, so let's turn there. If you want to, or just make a note on that, you can study it out later. Okay, and we have more free time, but in Luke chapter 2. Okay, in Luke chapter 2, I'm going to turn there quickly. We can see here a man named Simeon. Okay, now we're going to see particular tokens. Now we know that the Virgin Mary, okay, received numerous confirmations. Okay, numerous confirmations. Every confirmation was a gift to her. Okay, she had a confirmation by what? There's more, but I just put a few here. The angel blessed her. We see that in chapter 1, verse 26. Luke 1:26. The angel blessed her. The angel Gabriel appeared to her. Okay, that's the first token that was granted to her. Okay, and regarding this form of exchange, a mystery and a parable was put right within her womb. It was put within her womb supernaturally. Supernaturally. It's the same thing with your soul. Supernaturally, God imputes this revelation of the archangel. Okay, the archangel provides revelations. So the archangel Gabriel provided revelation to Mary, okay, Mary, the mother of Jesus, okay, by which she reciprocated with, let it be according to thy word. We reciprocate with, let it be according to thy word, O Lord. You reciprocate this with charity. So the angel blessed her. Elizabeth confirmed, chapter 1, verse 40. The shepherds confirmed. Joseph, her husband, confirmed in Matthew 1:20. The wise men confirmed, Matthew 2:11. So let's read here about this revelation of Simeon. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Okay, we're in Luke 2:25. We're going to move through here quickly. There was a man named Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout. He was a teaching rabbi. He was a man of faith. Okay, he was learned in the scriptures. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the time and season that the Shiloh, the day star, would arrive. And he reflected upon that on the books of Enoch and on the writings of Genesis. For the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. In other words, the anointing now stirred him, to stir him up, and so much more to the closeness of the Messiah, as the Spirit is also stirring us up today. Okay, as the Spirit stirred up the children of Israel, dreams and visions and visitations, the closeness, the manifestation of Christ during the first century, how much more now? The Spirit of the Lord is stirring up the souls of the righteous in dreams and visions and words of knowledge, okay, concerning the closeness of the rapture, okay, and also the returning of the Lord. It's happening all over the world. People feel it. They know something is about to break forth. They can hear the cries. They can hear the cries of this travail. Okay, and so it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he see the Lord Christ. Interesting revelation. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. Now, when the parents brought in the child Jesus, for to do to him after the custom of law. Now, you notice this is another revelation. This now puts it up to about 6 and 7 confirmations that was given to the Virgin Mary. That's really great, isn't it? 7? I mean, there's even more than that in dreams and visions. How much more so to us today in dreams and visions? So the parents were there for the purpose of this dedication. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus for to do to him after the custom of the law, the circumcision tethered to Abraham, then at this point, Simeon now picked him up. He lifted him up as Jesus was at the cross. He lifted him up in admiration. He took him up in his arms, okay, as a thanksgiving offering to complete the law of Moses. So then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and says, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. That's the revelation you gave to me, he says. For my eyes have now lifted. I see this. My eyes have seen your salvation. I physically seen Christ. Okay, Christ the Lamb our Redeemer, which you have prepared before the face of all people. Why, you gave many revelations. We see this in chapter 1, 65 and 66, and also verse 70. Many revelations were given about this time. It was spoken of throughout the hill country of Judea. Okay, it was rumored about. People heard about it. People were giving themselves to prayer. People were waiting in expectation. And then a man arose called John, which baptized with water. Okay, this was the final stage for the presentation. Okay, which you were prepared before the face of all the people. It was been sealed in a conscience since the very beginning in the Father's bosom, but now we can see this fulfillment. A light to lighten the Gentiles. Okay, his sword of grace is now to awaken the sleeping conscience, okay, and to reveal many hearts. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of Israel, the people of Israel. And also a light and preparing hearts. And this is exactly what Zechariah says. Okay, it's concerning many hearts to be revealed. Okay, it's also said Mary. Okay, she says, my soul does magnify the Lord. Okay, and then she goes on, concerning his mercy is on them that fear him, generation. Okay, and he says, verse 51, he has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Okay, and then it's also revealed, okay, that things, even your own heart, will be manifested. That's the conscience he's talking about. So we can see all these events took place. Okay, a full disclosure, the closest of time. What happened? Okay, now Joseph and his mother, they marveled. They were very surprised at the confirmation, so sudden, the confirming of these things, these tidings, from so many sources, of those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, further revealed to them certain things to his parents. Then he said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child, his token steward here, is set for a fall and rising. It's going to be for separation of tares and changing of the weeks and seasons. Behold, this child is set for a fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign that will be spoken against. He's going to be challenged and undermined by the protesters. A sword shall pierce through your own soul also, he says. His light shall open your conscience, exposing the very depths of your soul. A sword shall pierce your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. See, the consciences are revealed today by that same spirit. The conscience, the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. It is incredible, but you're experiencing that. The very thing that he spoke of, which Christ would do, he's doing now. This is going to be for a witness. Okay? It will be a witness against Satan's ministers and protesters that are at work. Okay? Then another confirmation happens, one by Anna. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel. Now she was about 84, a great age at this point, also had lived with her husband for 7 years of her virginity. That's before he died. She was a widow about 84 years old, which departed not from the temple. She did temple work, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day, morning and evening during the sacrifices of the lamb. Okay, she would fast during that time. Now she was coming in at the instant, passing through the court, of course, paused in amazement and responded what she heard, giving thanks likewise to the Lord. And she also pointed with great admiration. She spoke of him to all of them that were present, that looked for redemption. Those that understood the refuge of stewardship and the priesthood, they looked for redemption in Jerusalem. They looked for the stewardship and the priesthood again. Okay, in Jerusalem, which would put into the old record to begin a new record, a new season that they would embrace. Now, when they had performed all these things according to the law, we see in verse 24, all the terms which Moses' record and covenant required, which we see in 24, every male that opens room should be called holy to the Lord, 23 and 24. Okay. When he had prepared and performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. And now let's go back to Ephesians. Ephesians verse 16. There we got to verse 15. Okay, verse 16. You got a few minutes to go here. For of whom the whole body fitly joined together. Okay, now we're identifying the head. Okay, we're growing up into him. Okay, we're not stale or dried up. Okay, or dried up swamps. Okay, why? We're flowing lakes and seas and oceans. Okay, God is putting life within us. Just like God created the oceans to put life within them. Okay, he created the hills with the green grasses, many grasses. Some of those don't exist today. Okay, those grasses. But there are so many different kinds of them which would benefit the grass-eating animals. Okay, their particular diet. Okay, and then after he created the hills of green grass, then he put the cattle there. He didn't put the cattle there and then put the grass there. He put the grass there and then put the cattle there. He put the ocean, then the fish, not the fish, then the ocean. Okay, he prepared the body, then put the spirit within it. He prepared the body first and put the spirit within it. Okay, now let's go on here. So we're speaking the truth in love. Now, the whole body fitly joined together. We're all joined from this one well, Christ's well. And we all attend to the duties of the temple as priests. We're all attending to the duties. Of whom the whole body fitly framed together. All of us are attending. We see that in the first covenant. And we can see also the application of it in the second covenant. The covenant today. All of us are contributing in the assembly. So when you're contributing to the assembly, your charity, now you're being joined together in unity and compacted. Okay, ever increasing as the tree bears fruit. By that which every joint, every saint confirms by prophecy, by the anointing in them, by the effectual working. Which every joint supplies according to the effectual working and the measure of every part. In other words, all of us are birthing life through the knowledge which you're communicating. The conversation of your charity is birthing life. It's birthing life in you as you speak it. Okay, you're being saved. Okay, you're sealing your salvation. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. That's you. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Effectual has to do with that which is living. It's living. It's increasing. It says it right there. It makes increase. It makes increase. Your gift makes increase. Every revelation that Mary received, okay, increased in value. Okay, as she proceeded from 14 to 40 years old, okay, it increased in value. She saw things continually unfold and unfold even more. All the way to the cross, all the way to his resurrection. Okay, all the way to Pentecost. Okay, she continually saw these things unfold, that which was spoken by the angel, that which was confirmed by the prophets. So here, increase. And we increase with the increase of God, what he provides for us, as we see unfolding in the seventh heaven. It's unfolding right now in the seventh heaven. Okay, that which our Father thinks, they are provides the four beasts continually, reduce it through the elders, through the archangels, from the field to the plate to the mouth. Okay, it makes increase of the body. So we're being strengthened, okay, as we continue to ingest that steak. Increase the body with the unto the edifying of itself in love. So we're expanding. We're expanding his tribe. We're expanding his house. Okay, we are the children of the white stone. Now, the white stone. Every tribe of Israel received a particular color of stone, which was put within a vestment of the priesthood. Okay, because the priest bore the responsibility for every tribe. All the tribes, the 12 stones, were put in one ephod, which one man wore. Hey, that shows stewardship and priesthood. And we are as precious stones in the eyes of the Lord, white stones. Okay, which stones, okay, identify us with this one person, Jesus Christ. Okay, so, and he goes on here, makes increase of the body and the edifying of itself in love.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.